Listen to shoot the defense. It's unbelievable, Jeff.
Hello and welcome to Shoot the Defense on FNX. I'm your host Stel, and this is a Serie A preview edition. Now, joining me today is someone who, as far as couch expertise goes, you'll struggle to find many out there better. It's Chloe Beresford. Chloe, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having me on.
It's an absolute pleasure. Well, look, 2 days until the big kickoff. Are you ready?
Yes, I've been waiting and waiting. I think since the World Cup finished, it leaves a bit of a void, really, in terms of football. So I'll be glad to see it get started, to be honest.
Yeah, same here. Well, look, Juventus, they kick off their campaign against Chievo, and the Bianconeri embark on another campaign with an 8th consecutive title as one of their many targets. Now, only one topic to start with, and that's Cristiano Ronaldo. What do you make of the transfer, and has it silenced many of the Serie A critics?
Yeah, I think it is big news for the league. You know, it's great that he wanted to come and play in Italy and, you know, have a bit of a change from winning everything with Real Madrid. I'm hoping that it will attract some more bigger players into the league because, you know, Serie A has been great for a long time, but it's maybe because Juve keep winning the league every year that casual followers don't really see what's going on as well as that. And I think that maybe Cristiano could draw some of these viewers in, and then people would see everything that it's got to offer, which is much more than Juve just keep winning.
Allegri has done what many title-winning managers have done in the past, and that's refresh the squad. He's replace the likes of Higuain, Buffon and Lichtsteiner with Emre Can, João Cancelo from Valencia, who fill in a right-back, Bonucci's come back, and Maria Perrin, who will give Szczesny something to think about. How much pressure is Allegri under to deliver the Champions League after bringing in players of such high calibre?
I think enormous pressure, to be honest. You know, Juve have won the last four league and cup doubles in a row with Allegri, so really have got nothing left to prove in terms of that. And they have reached two Champions League finals, but not quite been able to get over that final hurdle. So I think, you know, the club president, Andrea Agnelli, has been very, very clear. He's publicly stated that their aim is to win the Champions League. And, you know, I don't think anybody's going to suddenly think Allegri's a bad manager if he doesn't do it, but the pressure is definitely on, you know, for the club to say that that is the aim. And Brian Ronaldo, you know, was clearly with that in mind. So, yeah, I think, you know, the expectation is that they will do it.
And another club that's had a few big departures, that's Roma. The Giallorossi have let go of Nainggolan. Alisson's gone to ply his trade elsewhere. But Monchi has stepped up by bringing in Sweden's number one, Robin Olsen, World Cup winner Steven Nzonzi, Pastore, Cristante, Cliver. And all of a sudden, Roma looks even more dangerous than they did last season.
Yeah, I think Roma have been gradually trying to narrow the gap to Juve. The American owners are really smart in their approach. They've brought in Monchi, of course, who's so good on the transfer market. And the young boss, Eusebio Di Francesco, you know, he came in from, he'd never managed a big club before, and he took them to the Champions League semi-finals immediately, which was, you know, beyond anybody's wildest expectations. So I think they're continually making progress, and I'll be really excited to see what they can do this year.
That's right, and in Edin Dzeko, they've got one of the most lethal yet underrated strikers in Europe, I believe. Now, his presence will no doubt aid the development of Cengiz Under, Patrick Schick and Justin Kluivert, won't it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he scored 16 last year, so slightly less than the year before, but he's very experienced, and he's not maybe the most exciting player to watch. I would say he's probably not my cup of tea, but he certainly, you know, delivers when it matters, and yeah, the others will be looking to learn from him.
How high do you rate Cengiz Under?
I think from what I saw of him last season, he's certainly an exciting prospect. I've seen him linked with a few clubs in the transfer window, but I think you know, Roma will hang on to him, and I think he'll really kick on again this season. I think we'll see big things from him.
Now, when I was growing up in the late 80s, early 90s. I'm showing my age here now. I seem to remember the great Milan and Internazionale sides battling out for Serie A. Inter Milan are now back in the Champions League, but they finished 23 points behind Juve. But they brought in the likes of Nainggolan from Roma, Lautaro Martinez, a striker from Racing, who will try to take some pressure off Icardi. Then you've got Asamoah and Vasalco, fullbacks will improve those positions. And De Vrij, it's a statement of intent from Inter, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think they've been a little bit constrained by FFP regulations, but, you know, the Champions League, the money that generates has eased that off and has allowed them to sunning the Chinese owners to really invest in the team. They've made some really smart signings where I think in the past they've had a tendency to waste money. But you can't argue with who they've brought in this year, and they've, you know, they look, you know, like maybe they could even challenge for second place this year after just about scraping in the Champions League at the very last day of last season. So I'm impressed with their business.
Yeah, well, that was Spalletti's first season at the club, wasn't it? And he achieved the target of top four. But how much pressure do you think he's under to actually deliver the Scudetto?
I don't know about the Scudetto, but I think he will be immediately under pressure to perform. You know, the club could identify where they struggled last season, and they've done their bit in providing the right play in the right positions where Inter had problems last year. So, you know, if Spalletti doesn't deliver, then he is under pressure. And I think the availability of Antonio Conte is bubbling away in the background. And, you know, Spalletti can be a bit negative and sort of moaning, blaming other people. And if he goes off on down that path, then I can see them being keen to replace him if things don't go as the owners expect they should after all that investment.
Yeah, and their neighbours Milan, they've been making wholesale changes, especially in personnel from the operational side. They brought in Leonardo as technical director and Paolo Maldini, who's returned as director of strategic development. What exactly does Maldini's role at the club involve?
I'm not 100% sure, to be honest. I think they've wanted him at the club for a long time, but his arrival is very significant in the way that Milan were effectively repossessed after the previous president turned out to be a bit of a fraud. Maldini has refused so far to get involved with Milan while he feels that the ownership has not been as it should. So it shows that under the new owners, Elliott Management, that he's got faith in them, and you know, that's, it says it all by his willingness to have come back into the club.
And when you see Bonucci going back to Juventus after a disastrous stint at the club, and Higuain and Caldara moving the opposite direction, Milan have got the better deal, haven't they?
Yeah, I think so. I think for them, you know, Bonucci, for a lot of supporters, never really felt like a Milan player. He had a bit of a wobble at the end of the season before last, and ended up joining them last summer. And I think, you know, they weren't too bothered to see him go back to Juve. But last year, Milan were absolutely crying out for a really good striker, and they've got that in Higuain, and I think he could be absolutely lethal for them next year.
Yeah, everywhere he goes, he scores goals, doesn't he? So it'll be very interesting to see how he links up with Suso.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Mm.
And they brought in the Bakayoko from Chelsea on loan, and they've got Biglia and Kessié already there, so their pool of talent in the middle of the park is very top-heavy from a physical perspective. Is this something that Gattuso feels they've lacked, a mobile yet strong central midfield?
I think, you know, perhaps when you think back to the way that Gattuso played and the way that he is in terms of his passion and he's firing all the players up, I think, you know, that those players are kind of created in his image, and that's the way he wants to play. We saw that last season, he very much tried to play that way, but maybe didn't quite have the right squad, the right players to be able to do so. With who they've signed, you know, it plays into how he wants to play next year. And, you know, I hope to see them do well. Everyone wants to see Milan get back and Inter get back to the levels that they were in the past and have a really good competition in Serie A.
What do you think the best that Milan can hope for is this season?
It's hard to say, because last year they said they're very clear aim of wanting to reach the Champions League places, and everything went wrong and they failed to do that, even though they'd spent a lot of money in the summer. But I think this year they're a lot more stable, they've made some really smart signings, so, you know, I think, you know, a Champions League finish is what they should be aiming for and probably about what they can achieve.
Right, right. Now let's move over to Napoli, because, you know, they won the hearts of a lot of neutrals under Sarri, and from the neutrals' perspective, it's been a bit of an underwhelming summer for them, hasn't it? Sarri's obviously gone to Chelsea with Jorginho, and they've replaced him with former Chelsea boss Carlo Ancelotti. Were you surprised with the appointment?
Not really, because I think the problems between Sarri and the owner, Aurelio De Laurentiis, have been bubbling for some time. And, you know, Sarri's been with Chelsea a lot, and the owner he's a colourful character, and he's not one to sort of just put up with a situation. So I think the fact that Sarri was going to leave was maybe expected, even though he'd done great work at Napoli, and you know, you can see why they've brought Ancelotti in. He's got experience of actually winning trophies, which Sarri doesn't have, but I think the fans of Naples are really quite unhappy with the lack of signings, and there's been a lot of sort of unrest and tension, so it's really hard to be able to judge how they're going to play next year, because yes, they've got a very good manager, but they've lost Jorginho, they've lost Sarri, and they're not going to be playing in that same style as they were, so that's going to take some time to adjust to. So, yeah, Napoli are a bit of an enigma. I'm waiting to see how their first game with Lazio goes at the weekend before I make a real judgment on what they're going to be like this season.
They've got a couple more weeks before the transfer window closes, and they've spent big on Alex Meret and Fabian Ruiz, although the club have now made the move for David Ospina because Meret is actually out for a while. Now, I'm not entirely sure what to expect from Napoli this season. I'm not sure if their aim is top four. I don't personally think they'll challenge for Serie A, which is a shame because they've got a fairly decent squad. But, you know, Jorginho made a big difference, didn't he?
He did. He was the linchpin. Everything went through him. You can see the highest passing average in all of Europe's top five leagues for the last three seasons in a row. So you can see how much, how vital he was for Napoli, and now he's not there. So I don't really know how the side are going to react to that. And they have lost heavily in all their pre-season friendlies. So it could be a bit of a transitional year, but, you know, we know that Ancelotti knows what he's doing, and so that could negate some of those factors, but yeah, it might be a year in which they slip back a little bit from what they have been doing in recent seasons.
Absolutely. Well, Chloe, last but not least, Parma are back in Serie A after being relegated to the fourth tier back in 2015 for being declared bankrupt. Now, the club will begin their campaign on -5 points after Italy's National Federation found striker Emanuele Callao guilty of match-fixing. It's not the best of starts to their return, is it?
It wasn't going to be, but they have had it overturned. The league...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the league has actually, on appeal, they've reduced it, and they're not going to have a point deduction. And the player is still going to be banned, I think, for a year. But no, they're going to start on zero, which I think is good news for all those who missed the presence of Parma in Serie A while they've, you know, had so much misfortune with being bankrupt and all the money troubles they've had. And I think we like to see those yellow and blue shirts in Serie A. They're a good club, and you know, I'm hoping they can stay up this year.
Absolutely. Well, Chloe, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show. Really, really appreciate your time. I hope to have you back on sometime so we could discuss more Serie A matters.
Yeah, that would be great. Would love to. Thank you.
Fantastic. Well, Chloe, before I let you go, would you like to tell listeners your Twitter handle?
Yeah, it's @ChloeJBeresford, and I've also got a Facebook page which you can just search Chloe Beresford for.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Chloe. Guys, for those of you still listening, we are on Twitter at Shoot Defence. We also have a Facebook group page, so please feel free to join it. And until next time, take care.